Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? What meaneth this? Today I preach to you on that topic. What meaneth this? Would you ask God to speak to our hearts? Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that you loved us enough, that you robed yourself in flesh, that you came to this earth. We thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins, shedding your blood that we might be free. Lord, I'm so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful, Lord, that we can follow the plan of salvation just like the new church in the book of Acts, and that we can repent of our sins. We can be baptized in the name of Jesus, and we can be filled with your Spirit, God. I'm thankful for that today. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to every heart, to every life. And before this service is over, I pray that you would let there be a mighty outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, just let the Holy Ghost minister and work in every life, in every heart, touch every young person, every child, every adult. I pray, Lord, that before we leave here today, that every person would be full of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you just claim that right now in Jesus' name? We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. It's interesting when you meet people and you talk about what they do for work and talk about their family, where they're from, and talk about the weather. As you get to know someone, usually before long, you get around to what their church background is. There's so many different paths today that generally you have to ask a few questions before you even know what somebody's talking about. I mentioned last night in church family prayer meeting a contractor this week, and we were talking about whatever the business was that he was discussing, and got on church background. And I asked about four or five questions, and then I really didn't get the full knowledge of what exactly they believed or what his church background was. We did find out that he does believe in baptism in Jesus' name. So I thought, well, there's some common ground there to start with. Amen. But there's so many different paths that when someone says, well, I'm non-denomination or I'm Pentecostal or I'm this or that, you don't always know for sure what that means. In my feeling, Pentecostal means that we go right back to the day of Pentecost. Amen. Amen. And we teach it just like the apostles taught. And so I know that there's been a lot of books written, a lot of teaching that has gone forth and said, well, you know, we've changed and doctrine has changed and times have changed. And so now it's, you know, it's more convenient to do it this way or do it that way. But in my heart, I just wonder. I just wonder sometimes, do they really, really believe that deep down? Because when you go back to the original church, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that it says one day this is going to change and one day things are going to be different and one day, you know, this is important right now, but one day you're not going to have to do this. I don't see that anywhere. In fact, I see places where it says that even if an angel comes to you and tells you there's another way, don't believe it. I read places where it says God's word is settled forever. Does not change. God does not change. And so in the Bible, I believe we find the plan of salvation. I understand there's different books and different authors and different men and women today who have teachings and what they feel like it takes this or that to be saved, or it doesn't take this or that to be saved. But you know, I don't know who they are, and frankly, I don't care who they are, because if it doesn't line up with the Bible, what good is it? I want to make sure that we believe what the Bible says. Amen. So thank you, Bishop, for those words of encouragement. And today I want to be clear about a couple of things that should happen in a New Testament church. We're striving to be a 21st century New Testament church. We're striving to be an apostolic church that teaches and preaches the same thing as the apostles. We're striving to be founded upon that chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And so if we want to be like the first church, I believe that there's a few things that happen in a Pentecostal church. In studying Pentecost throughout the Bible, we find that Pentecost was God's ultimate fulfillment in prophecy. It was the prophet Joel who relayed this prophecy in chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. The Lord spoke in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And in Isaiah 12 and 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Does anybody have a little joy of the Holy Ghost today? There ought to be some joy in our hearts, drawing from a well of salvation that is the Spirit of God that has filled us to overflowing. John the Baptist declared in Matthew 3 and 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that fire. I'm thankful for that fire. There's something about this fire. It's exciting. It draws you in. This fire, this Holy Ghost in fire is what this church needs today. It's what everyone under the sound of my voice needs today. It's what Springfield needs. The Holy Ghost and fire. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. And I want to tell you, when you're full of the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's like a fire. It's like a fire that burns. It's like a fire. It's a deep moving of God's Spirit. You can't quite describe it, but if you've never had it, you just don't know. But what you need to do is don't just read about it. Don't just hear people talk about it, but you need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you need to receive this Holy Ghost and fire for yourself. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke of the Pentecost to come in John 37 and 39 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, what does that mean? But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He wasn't speaking of a natural well. He wasn't speaking of an earthly water, but he was speaking of salvation. He was speaking of the Spirit, that when you drink of this water of the Spirit, when you drink, you're never going to thirst of this again. Hey, there's a lot of things in life that'll leave you thirsty. There's a lot of things in life that'll leave you hungry. But if you can just get a hold of the Holy Ghost and fire, you'll never thirst again. You'll never be hungry again. Just stay full of the Spirit of God. And just one time isn't enough. But I believe every service we ought to speak in tongues. Come on, does anybody believe that today? I believe that every week we have to repent. Every day we need to have a moving of the Spirit of God in our life, because I want to be full. Hallelujah. Life has a way of draining us. Anybody ever slept on an air mattress? Why are you laughing? You know, a few years ago, Sister McCoy and I went to whatever store it was, and we had a lot of company at our house, a lot of kids and all that, and so we were always needing extra places for people to sleep. And, you know, I grew up, I remember the old time air mattresses. Those are the ones, Brother Long, we went riding down the river on, and we'd bring them home after they'd been through all those rocks and try to sleep on them. But here was this air mattress, and it was promised to never go flat. Wow. And Brother Neil, I just had to buy it because everyone I'd ever had went flat. And they had a guarantee. There was a warranty on that thing. So we get this air mattress, and it's got this pump on the side that is supposed to silently keep filling it up to keep it pumped up. And, well, we used it a few times, and then I think we went out of town. Actually, I think we were staying in Texas after we came here, and lo and behold, somewhere in the middle of the night, that thing went flat. And we tried for a while to make it, and finally, I think we went in the middle of the night and went and got a hotel room. And I got to looking at that guarantee. It said, well, don't take this back to the store, but find a way to put this in a little bitty package after you've already rolled it out, and find a way to ship it back. And we thought, well, we'll just go buy another one, and then we'll return. And now we've got like three or four of them that are guaranteed to not go flat. And folks, you wouldn't want to sleep on one of them. Life has a way of treating us like an air mattress. Because you can be full of the Holy Ghost on Sunday, and then you go back to work on Monday morning, and the boss comes in a grumpy mood, or you have a flat tire on the way to work, and all of a sudden, that Holy Ghost starts draining out, and you need another filling. Hey, man, I want to tell you, we don't need to go too long without a renewing of the Spirit of God. If it's been a week, it's been too long. If it's been a year since you spoke in tongues, it's been too long. But my belief is that every single person here today, before you leave, you need to leave full of the Holy Ghost. You need to speak with tongues all over again. You need to have a refilling of God's Spirit, because you're going to face some things this week that you're going to have strength to overcome, and you can't make it alone. But if you've got the Holy Ghost in fire, if you've got the presence of God with you, I want to tell you, he'll give you strength to endure. Hallelujah. In John 14 and 26, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And on the day of Pentecost, these prophecies were all fulfilled. The disciples were gathered together. They were following the directions of Jesus. Just one chapter earlier from our text today, we read the words of Jesus in Acts chapter 8, 1 verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, was taken up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And look who all was there. It says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The brothers of Jesus were there. The mother of Jesus were there. The apostles were there. Now, why do you think that God would have all of these people organized to come together? I believe because there's no other gospel. There's no other way to be saved. But every single person had to repent of their sins. They had to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So what kind of church do you go to? Hey, I'll tell you what kind of church I go to. I go to the church that Peter established. I go to the church that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would go to if she were alive today. And I believe the same thing that they believed. And we do the same things that they do, because there's no other way to be saved but in the Word of God. Hallelujah. What an exciting time. And now what they had been looking for and what they had been praying about and what they had been seeking God for, it came to pass, and they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and it was the fulfillment of prophecy. It was God's Spirit in them. It was the Comforter. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the rest and the refreshing that had been prophesied about. And oh, what a day it must have been that the church was born. Does it excite anybody here today to think of the day of Pentecost? To think what it must have been like? To think what they must have felt? To think what it must have sounded like when the Holy Ghost fell? Is there anybody here that you want to have that same experience? You want to experience what they experienced on the day of Pentecost. You want to experience what Peter got to feel. You want to experience what Mary, the mother of Jesus, got to feel as the Holy Ghost filled her life and she spoke with tongues. What an exciting thing. Now, to the others gathered around, they didn't know quite what was happening. And reading in Acts chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And then on down in verse 12, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." They thought they were drunk. They thought they were crazy, but there was something that drew them to that. I tell you, it was the power of the Holy Ghost. And some of you remember your first time in a Pentecostal church. You thought those people were out of their mind. You thought those people were drunk and crazy. But here you are today, because the Holy Ghost was drawing you. The Holy Ghost was reaching for you. And it's reaching in this house. And before we leave here today, I pray that that same power, that same Spirit would fall in this place. And we leave here full of the Holy Ghost.
Come on, if you want it, why don't you thank God for it right now by faith? Lord, let it happen. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. I pray that you let it happen here today. Come on, every person here ought to want this. Every person here ought to be excited about the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is God's Spirit given to us. Come on, it ought to be an exciting thing. Come on, it makes me wonder, Bishop, when somebody can't even clap their hands about the Holy Ghost. This is what we're about. What does this mean? What meaneth this? This is a Pentecostal church. This is an apostolic church. We believe in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're 12 or if you're 82. You still need it. You still gotta have it. We need this power. What does this mean? What meaneth this? What's going on? In that first Pentecostal service, those gathered around wondered what in the world was happening. And I pray that that still happens today. The people walk into our services filled with the things of life, but the power of God is moving in that service, and people are responding to His presence, and the sound of worship is going up, and the sound of prayer is going forth, and the preaching of the Word of God, and so that people realize there's something different about this place I just came into. It's not the same as every other church that I've been to down the street, but there's something different here. It feels a little different. Hey, it sounds different. There's a difference in the way that people respond to God. There's a difference in the way that they pray. There's a difference in the way that they sing. There's a difference in their preaching. I feel the tug of something that I can't see, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it would be my will, it would be my wish today if we would all give ourselves in to that tug of the Spirit. Don't you resist. Don't you hold back. But let the Lord tug your heart right into this altar today and let God fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost so you can be full of His Spirit. What meaneth this? What's different here? What's this all about? So based on this first church service of the New Testament church, let us look today at three works of a Pentecostal church service. We are in a Pentecostal church today, right? Come on, somebody. I know we go by Harvest Ministries, but this is the First United Pentecostal Church of Springfield, isn't it? This is a place that believes in demonstrative worship, isn't it? This is a place where the Holy Ghost still falls, right? Come on, this is a place where you can still feel the moving of the Spirit of God, right? Am I in the right place? Because there's people who are coming. They've had every other kind of path. They've had every kind of religion. They're looking for something that matches up with what was in the original book, what happened on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hey, they've already heard the stories, folks. They've already heard about this church. When you tell somebody you're Pentecostal, they've already heard, oh, they speak with tongues over there. They worship like crazy over there, and they're loud, and they're crazy, and they worship God, and their preachers yell. That's what they say. And in all of that, let's not disappoint them. Let's not leave them. I want them to see what they've come looking for. I want them to find what they're looking for. Come on, let's be a Pentecostal church. Let's be a Pentecostal church. Let's be everything that the New Testament church was. Hallelujah. Amen. The first work that we see happening in this Pentecostal church was the work of prayer. Jesus said in Luke 24, 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. We've already read today in the book of Acts, chapter 1, where they went into an upper room. It was Peter and James and John and Andrew and all of the women, and it was all of those that were part of that New Testament church. They continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication. That means they had a prayer meeting. They had a prayer meeting. Apparently, it lasted for days. Well, God forbid Pastor call an all-night prayer meeting. That's a good idea, actually. Come on, some of you got a little nervous right there. Apparently, their prayer meeting lasted for days, and they were waiting for the promise of God. They were in one accord. They were in supplication. That means they were seeking God. They were seeking His will and seeking His presence and His blessing. And one of the best ways to get in one accord is in a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting where we pour our hearts out to God. A prayer meeting where we repent of our sins. Where we submit our flesh unto God's will in our life. Where we ask for God to have His way in a church service. That practice of prayer, it makes such a difference. That's why we have church family prayer. That's why we have pre-service prayer. That's why we recommend everyone have personal times of devotion and prayer. Because the work of prayer was present in the New Testament church. The work of prayer. Prayer is work. Prayer is work. It's work. It's hard to pray sometimes. You have to work at prayer. But I tell you, the work of prayer is well worth it. It's necessary work for every child of God. Before we sing, before we preach, before we come into the presence of the Lord, before we do anything in the kingdom of God, we need the work of prayer. Jesus said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That tarrying, it comes before the enduing. The praying comes before the outpouring of the power. The prayer comes before the miracle. That time of humbling ourselves, it comes before God hears from heaven. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But prayer comes first. Every singer ought to spend time in prayer. Every saint ought to spend time in prayer. Every young person ought to spend time in prayer. Every elder ought to spend time in prayer. God forbid that we have preachers that don't pray. Come on, we need ushers and greeters that pray. We need sound men that pray. We need young people that get a hold of God and pray. Come on, prayer is a work that everyone must do in a Pentecostal church. And the work of prayer, yes, prayer is work, but the work that prayer does, it can't be accomplished by anything else. There's nothing like prayer to get us in tune with the power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like prayer that helps us hear the voice of God. There's nothing like prayer to bring about miracles and healings and signs and wonders. There's nothing like prayer. If you want to walk in the Holy Ghost, you've got to learn how to pray. You've got to learn how to pray. If we're going to be in a Pentecostal church, we need the work of prayer. Harvest, if we're going to be a 21st century New Testament church, we need the work of prayer. That's why we do have pre-service prayer. And I know I mention it a lot, but I guess some of you haven't heard it yet. I'm not looking at anybody. Pre-service prayer is 45 minutes before church to 15 minutes before service. Pre-service prayer is not where we go for coffee at Starbucks. It's not when we shoot the breeze with everybody in the foyer. I'm smiling, but I'm serious. It's not when we make plans to go eat. Pre-service prayer is when we do the work of prayer. Hallelujah. Service doesn't really start at 12 or at 1 or at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. It really starts at pre-service prayer. Because there's some work we got to do first. And we got to have the work of prayer. If we're going to be a Pentecostal church, we've got to have the work of prayer so that we can get tuned into the Spirit. We've got to have the work of prayer before we see miracles and signs and wonders. We can't just summon the Spirit of God to move. We can't just say, God, I'm here, move. That's not how it works. How are people going to be delivered? How is the power of God going to fall in our services? How are we going to get the breakthrough we need in every service? Jesus said in Matthew 17, 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The first thing that happened in the New Testament church service was prayer. And the first thing that must happen around here is prayer. What meaneth this? What meaneth this? What's going on around here? Well, this is what the Pentecostal church is all about. First of all, we've got to be about the work of prayer. The second work we see in the first church is the work of worship. When the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it says when this was noised abroad, there was a noise of worship. In every tongue, they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. And oh, what a beautiful sound it must have been. In every language under heaven, the sound of worship, the sound of praise, the sound of magnifying God. The work of worship was present in the first church. And it better be present here at Harvest if we want to be like the first church. Psalms 101, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We need the work of worship. We need the work of worship. Hallelujah. Now, I'm about to mess with some of your theology right now. I know we have this argument from time to time about the new songs versus the old songs. I see stuff going around the internet that arguments both ways and all of this. That's why we sing both the old and the new. But do a search. Get your Bible app out, not now, but later on. And do a search of the words new song in the Bible. And read those verses and then do a search of the words old song in the Bible. Boy. Got high. Just do it sometime. Psalms 33:3, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalm 40:3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. Every praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalms 96:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalms 98:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Psalm 104:49, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Psalm 149:1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. Isaiah 42 and 10, sing unto the Lord a new song. And if that's not enough, where we're going, we're going to be singing in heaven, Revelation 5 and 9, and they sung a new song. Revelation 14 and 3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Now, every generation has new songs. What my great-grandparents sang in church were new songs to them. My great aunt, not my aunt, but my great aunt, told me about a time that she remembers the first time she heard one of the songs that I sing. I've got a soundtrack to it. But way back in the day, it was a new song. My grandparents' generation had new songs. My parents' generation had new songs. Folks, some of the songs that I think are new, they're like 20 years old. And this generation today, thank God for new songs. I want to tell you, it's not the date of the song. It's the work of worship. Folks, we're not going to have an argument over whether it's the new songs or the old songs. We're going to sing some new ones. We're going to sing some old ones. But I tell you what we better have, and that's the work of worship. Come on. If we're going to be a Pentecostal church, there's got to be a work of worship in our heart. It's not about the date of the song. It's about how our heart is. Is my heart a heart of worship? Is my life a life of worship? Folks, I'm telling you, as your pastor, I'm telling you, I do not want us to have the argument about old songs or new songs. Whatever song you like, you got to remember, there's 200 others around here that probably don't like that one. They like another one. We're going to sing a mix of the old and the new, but we're going to focus on the work of worship. And there's just something in my heart. When we sing some of those old songs, I love them. And there's something that moves me. I can't sit still for some of those old ones. I've got to start tapping my foot. I've got to start clapping my hands. I've got to move just a little bit. I've got to do something because that song resonates to my history. And I remember some old services when we maybe didn't have music like we had today, but oh, there was an old song that somebody began to sing, and there was a moving of the Spirit. And let me tell you, folks, if you're one of those that wants to sing the old songs every time, then every time we sing an old song, you better be on your feet worshiping God. Amen. Show these young people how to worship. Show us how to worship. There ought to be a connection there. Come on, I'm hitting some things today, but we're not going to get messed up over whether it's a new song or an old song. We're going to have the work of worship. Hallelujah. There's something about true Pentecostal worship where we lose ourselves in the presence of God and we're not worried about who's watching or what everybody else is doing, but we get lost in His presence and we get lost in His Spirit. Come on, it reminds me of old King David as he was dancing before the ark. He wasn't worried about who was watching. He was doing the work of worship. He was praising his king. He was lifting up the Lord. His wife said, oh, what are you doing? Oh, king, you're dancing like that. You're worshiping like that. But David said, I wasn't doing it for you. I was doing it for the Lord. What would our worship look like if we stopped doing it for everybody else and we only did it for the Lord? Come on, there's a work of worship. It takes work, but we've got to have it. It takes work to worship. It takes work to humble ourselves. It takes work to get rid of pride. That's what worship is. But oh, the work that worship does. The work that worship accomplishes can't be done by anything else. The anointing of God, the liberty that comes in the Spirit. God inhabits the praises of His people. It transforms the atmosphere of the place where the worship is going forth. Without the Spirit of God, this is just a building. These are just pews. These are just lights. This is just a sound system. But when we begin to worship Him, there's something that happens. There's a connection that's made in the spiritual, and God inhabits the praises of His people. I tell you, the work that worship does, it can't be done by anything else, and we've got to have it if we're going to be a Pentecostal church. In your own way right now, I want us to take 30 seconds, and I want you to begin to worship God. Come on, we don't have to have music to worship. We don't have to have singers to worship, but it comes from deep within. Why don't you give God glory? Why don't you give God praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've got to have the work that worship accomplishes. Amen. In the first church service of the New Testament church, we see the work of prayer, we see the work of worship, and thirdly, we see the work of the Word of God. I think that preaching today is much like it probably was on the day of Pentecost. They had 120 people, but then they had over 3,000. That's just those that were filled. There might have been more there. I don't know if they were in an amphitheater. I don't know where they got that many people together. But I don't think that Peter got them a little stool, just kind of talk to them. I want to tell you about some stuff that happened to me. I feel like Peter probably got a little excited. He had just been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does anybody remember the night you received it? Does anybody remember how you felt? I tell you what, it was the most exciting thing that had ever happened to this 7-year-old kid, and I'm still excited about it. And when I speak in tongues, it's like a fire going through my body. And I believe Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, and I believe he declared the word of God with boldness. I believe he raised his voice just a little bit, and he said, "Hey, I want to tell you what you got to do to be saved." And I'm thankful for teaching of the Word of God. I'm thankful for times that we can have devotion and we can talk to one another. But sometimes I just need some preaching. I need a preacher to get in the Word of God. And I need a preacher to start praying and to hear the Word of the Lord and speak to me some things that I need to hear. Even if it steps on my toes a little bit. Even if it pricks my heart. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. I need that still today. How about you? I want to tell you, preaching is work. Preaching is work. Oh, Pastor, you just work 1 hour a week. Well, hopefully I prepare somewhere along the way. A 1 hour sermon, and I don't know how many hours of spiritual battle that go along with that. Some of it's from demons, some of it's from people. Did you hear what Pastor said? Preaching is work. The work of preaching. But we need it. And let me tell you about the work that preaching does. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. Oh, it's kind of foolish to think about preaching. It doesn't make sense to our world. It doesn't make sense to some churches even today. But I want to tell you, there's a foolishness that comes. It confounds the wisdom of men, but it's the way that God saves people. It's the way that God deals with hearts. It's the way that God changes minds. It's the way that conviction goes forth in a service. And if it was in the book of Acts, if it was in that New Testament church, then I believe we ought to have preaching today. I believe we need to have more preaching than ever. I don't believe we need to forsake the Word of God, but we need to get in the Word. We need to get in the Spirit, and we need to preach the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Young men, I want to tell you, if God ever puts the call to preach upon your life, don't you consider it a lesser call than anything else. It's the greatest call that ever could go forth. It's better than being president. It's better than being a king. It's better than being a millionaire. You preach this word. You love this word. I want to preach to you young ladies, if God ever puts a call upon your life and calls you to full-time ministry, you don't look down on that. You don't consider that less than being a doctor or a lawyer or anything that this world would offer. But you realize, I'm doing the work of the kingdom of God. I'm doing the work of... We need the work of the Word. We need the work of the Word. We see in the book of Acts the fulfillment of these three works: the work of prayer, the work of worship, and the work of the word being preached. I wonder if you'd stand with me in closing tonight, today. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What meaneth this? What's going on here? What do I feel? What are all these people crazy, excited about? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word, his word, and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. It was the work of prayer. It was the work of worship, and it was the work of the Word. And we need it today. We need it today. I want to tell you, last night when we came around here for church family prayer, there was a moving of God's Spirit. If we could bottle that feeling up and let everybody in this town know about it, I tell you what, everybody would want it. You could feel the moving of the Holy Ghost. You could hear people praying in the Spirit. I believe that demons were paying attention. I believe that angels were paying attention. When we came in today for pre-service prayer at 11:15, I want to tell you there was a moving of God's Spirit. I'm so thankful for you men that took leadership in prayer today, and you were walking back and forth, and you were praying in the altars, and you were standing lifting holy hands unto God. And I want to tell you there was a liberty that we felt in prayer here today. Hallelujah. And then we began service, and I'm thankful that there was a response in worship today, and what a beautiful job the music team did. But it was more than just talent. It was more than just ability. But there was an anointing that swept through this house. And there was some work of worship to soften us up, to invite the presence of the Lord into this place and to prepare our hearts. And I want to tell you, I pray today that I preach the word of God that God gave to me for this service and the work of preaching. I pray that it accomplishes God's will in this house today. So that when we leave this place, we don't leave like we came, but there's a difference made in us. We think just a little bit different. We look at life just a little bit different. We speak a little bit different. I'd love to see if somebody would just get drunk in the Holy Ghost today, and you can't even speak English when you leave here. They call us holy rollers. Been a while since I rolled on the floor. Some are here thinking, well, I've never rolled on the floor. Those people are crazy in worship. Those people speak in tongues. A few years ago, Sarah Palin was chosen as running mate. They figured out which church she went to, and apparently they have some type of spirit-filled relationship. And, oh, that's all the news want to talk. She speaks in tongues. What meaneth this? What meaneth this? I believe that everybody needs to experience a Pentecostal church service. Amen. Hallelujah. If you meet someone and you invite them to church, I want you to take that to heart, and I want you to say, hey, everybody ought to experience a Pentecostal church service before they die. And what I believe will happen is when they experience that experience that the New Testament church had, when they experience what Mary, the mother of Jesus, had, when they experience what Peter and James and John had, I believe they're going to want more of it. Don't make them commit to the rest of their life just yet. Just say, hey, one time you need to come experience the church that believes just like the first church believed. And then you let God work on them from there. You let the Holy Ghost do the work from there. Amen. Is there anybody in this house that it's been a little too long since you spoke with tongues? It might have just been 15 minutes ago, but you're hungry for it again because the Lord is tugging at your heart. And God's saying, come on, I want you to be full of my spirit. I want you to be full of my power so you can go forth with anointing and with power today. Is anybody here, maybe you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you're just wondering what all these people are crazy about and you'd be willing to try it today? I wonder if you'd come to this altar with everybody else and you'd say, God, forgive me of my sins. I pray that you would fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. And as you pray and as you worship, I believe you'll start to speak in another tongue, another language you never learned in school. Come on, is there anybody here? Maybe you spoke with tongues, but it's been a year or two or three, and you'd say, it's been long enough. I need that power. I need that moving of the Holy Ghost, and I'm coming to get my blessing. I'm not leaving here without what God wants to do. Amen, 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 amen. I've tried every way I know how of. The rest of you, would you come join us? Come on, the rest of you, would you come join us? And would you say, God, work in me. Lord, let your power get a hold of me. Lord, let this word of truth do a work in my life today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, we're going to repent together right now. We're going to repent together. We're going to be in one mind and one accord. If you'll help us be in one mind and one accord, would you wave it, Pastor, right now? All right, we're going to repent. Every single one, I'm going to repent. You're going to repent. And then we're going to believe that the Lord is going to pour out His Spirit in this place. Would you? We're just going to ask God to forgive us of our sins. everything we've done that's wrong, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for that. I pray that you'd forgive me of it. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Come on, I'm sorry, Lord. Some of you need to repent. It's been too long since you repented. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for everything I've done that was wrong. Lord, I'm sorry for every evil word that I ever spoke. I'm sorry for every bad thought I've ever had. I'm sorry for every bad thing I've ever done. I pray that you would forgive me of my sins, Lord. I pray that you would wash me clean. Lord, I don't want to do those things anymore. I don't want to live that way anymore. But God, I pray that you would set me free from sin. I believe you died to set me free from sin. I believe you shed your blood to cover my sins. I pray, Lord, that you would do it today. Have mercy upon me today, Lord. Forgive me of every sin, Lord. Do you realize what just happened in this house? Come on, do you realize what just happened in this place? He forgave you of your sins. That thing that you haven't even forgiven yourself of, Jesus just forgave you of that. He said, I don't even know it's there anymore. But somehow, through the... Aren't you thankful for that today? It's a miracle. He just forgave somebody of something that you've been carrying a long time. Other people haven't even forgiven you, but Jesus just forgave you of it. All right, now we're going to worship God and we're going to thank God for that promise. And I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to sweep through this house. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, if you want a refilling, I want to tell you, you're in the right place today, because the work of the Spirit is here. The work of the Holy Ghost is here. Come on, right now in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray that the Holy Ghost would fall, and I pray that you would respond with worship and you would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in this house. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand upon your word. We stand upon the blood. God, we stand upon your Spirit and your promises. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will let the Holy Ghost fall in this house. In Jesus' name, receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, would you magnify Lord right now?
Holy Spirit, reign.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ministers, I want you to help us. I want you to just go and start laying hands with people and speaking the word of faith. Ministers, help me right now. In Jesus' name.
Open up the heavens, pour your Spirit out. Like a mighty wind, blow through this house. Open up the heavens, pour your Spirit out.